Hello and welcome to this episode of the 966. I'm Richard Wilson. I'm your host today. I'm delighted to have with us Dr. William Green, who is a chief investment officer for Evolution Foundation. As you know, Evolution Foundation is really a moonshot, $1 billion committed to a mission to extend healthy human lifespan and to better understand the processes of aging. Since 2021, they've invested $250 million in organizations and partnerships. They've just now begun to invest directly into technologies and companies that they think can further their mission, which is why we want to talk with Dr. Green, because they've made their first investment, impact investment, as they call it, and they plan to do another five more. The first one's in the U.S. Probably my guess is the majority of them will be in the U.S., but it's an exciting, exciting initiative that has ramifications for every human being. And for that reason, we're delighted to revisit it and talk with Dr. Green. And I hope you enjoy.
This is the 966.
Greetings and welcome to the 966. We are genuinely pleased to have with us today Dr. William Green, Chief Investment Officer with the Evolution Foundation. Now, as listeners and viewers of the 966, you will know that the Evolution Foundation is an extraordinarily, really notable, and ultimately $1 billion initiative by Saudi Arabia to catalyze study, research, science, and technology to better understand aging processes and, most importantly, to extend the healthy human lifespan for everyone. We got to visit with Dr. Green in Riyadh, and really happy to have him back 3 months later because there's important updates. And Dr. Green, Bill, if I may, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
As mentioned, we last spoke at the Evolution Foundation's two-day Global Healthspan Summit in Riyadh. This was in late November. The event drew over 1,000 attendees, 100 speakers. I can, you know, as an observer and a participant, we did a number of episodes from there. It was a really impressive gathering. The foundation hoped the summit would serve, and this is a quote, as a trigger, shifting perceptions of aging and longevity and catalyzing a move towards global health span, unquote. 3 months later, with a little bit of perspective, what was your takeaway from that summit and did it achieve its goals for Evolution's mission?
Absolutely. It was a real landmark event and a great success. We achieved all our goals and then some. As you noted, it was oversubscribed with attendees and speakers. And fundamentally, a really important thing we did was to achieve drawing global attention to health span as a problem and an opportunity. We demonstrated our role as an innovator, catalyst, convener, and partner in geroscience and in building solutions for health span.
So you came out of that with a lot of energy. The array and the quality of speakers was really impressive. I mean, it drove from all sectors that might have any kind of tangential or immediate relationship with geroscience. So it got the bounce you were hoping for.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And I think stimulated some really great conversations, both at the conference and follow-ups that have been tangible. We've announced partnerships with the Buck Institute for Aging, the largest single contribution to an X Prize for aging and health span, and other partnerships with academic and research institutes globally. And some of those conversations were really catalyzed at the meeting.
And I actually, you know, we're 3 minutes into this, Bill, and I'm already going, you know, off kilter. Can you just give us some details on an X Prize? Because that was a fascinating, I wasn't aware of a X Prize, and this was $101 million X Prize. Is this correct?
Yes, it's the largest single X Prize, I believe, that's been announced. The X Prize Foundation is a foundation, an independent foundation that is dedicated to, in some ways, fostering collaboration through competition. So creating competitions to solve important problems. And as an example, the commercial space industry is widely viewed as having been launched by an XPRIZE challenge to create a commercial space industry in addition to government efforts there. So that's the sort of thing that XPRIZE does. This is really a remarkable and quite challenging one in human biology. So teams will compete to demonstrate technologies or interventions that can actually slow the decline of biologic aging. That doesn't necessarily mean turn the clock back on aging or treat a specific disease, but to really fundamentally address health span. And it's a 10-year prize, and teams are lining up to submit proposals. And we expect that this will spark real creative approaches from academics who know about this science, but also perhaps from other groups and teams that we might not have initially thought of as potential future leaders in science. And that's the whole idea of having a competition separate from a grant program.
And that's going way back when I first learned of the Evolution Foundation. And we've gotten to know you and the team and Dr. Mahmoud Khan and Michael Torres, really outstanding group of people. I was very impressed with the philosophy, which was, let's not recreate the wheel. Let's catalyze what's being done. Let's assist those who need help. Let's try and supercharge those areas that are really promising. So following the summit, the Evolution Foundation issued a report, which was based on a global survey of 4,000 citizens, 1,000 healthcare professionals, including two workshops in London and Boston, and an extensive interview program. Can you share some of the key insights from that report?
Absolutely. There were several. And I think, Richard, there are two that really jump to mind. One is that targeting biologic aging rather than individual diseases and individual symptoms, as we've done over the past, is not just an imperative, but it's a real opportunity. It's been estimated that by extending healthy lifespan by 1 year could be worth $38 trillion. So if you add 10 years, that's $367 trillion of productivity. That alone is an amazing incentive to tackle this problem. A second insight from the meeting was real energy around digital innovation. The time is here. The application of AI for longitudinal data analysis, intervention development, patient selection for clinical trials is enormous. Now, AI is being used today to create platforms for electronic medical records and real-world data. That stuff's important and will have practical import. But for us, there's a real opportunity to use AI to generate insights into ways of approaching these complex chronic diseases that we simply haven't thought of yet. And that's a real, tangible, actionable opportunity coming out of where we are today.
And let me add one finding, and because I thought I just saw the notes on the report, and this is to speak to Evolution's trying to seize the moment, really, I think. And one of the findings is that most policy professionals believe, and we're talking 75%, that healthy longevity requires a new approach. A similar majority, 75%, prefer to be a, quote, fast follower. So rather than a leader showing a need for policy leadership. I just say that because, again, the Evolution Foundation seems to be made for the moment. And so that's very encouraging. So let's sort of get down to the ground level with some of what Evolution is doing. So since 2021, Evolution has allocated over $250 million towards health span research grants and partnerships. A lot of those folks were there in Riyadh. And you have very, very, I think, meticulously and systematically gone about creating positive partnerships with existing institutions. And I think this is probably part of it. But you just announced the Evolution's first, quote, impact investment to advance promising aging therapies, unquote. Can you tell us about the process? You know, if you can tell us a little bit about the process, because you researched investment opportunities, and I understand that included close to 200 companies. So the process, and then how you chose this first impact investment.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, Evolution is all about driving innovation and improving health span across the so-called value chain. Perhaps a better or another way of thinking about that is across the entire spectrum of innovation, from attracting young people to geroscience as a career, funding postdoctoral fellowships, funding grants, creating partnerships with academic institutions. And all of that philanthropy is geared towards generating more knowledge, which we need. To make that useful, though, it has to be reduced to practice. And that is all about the innovation ecosystem of biotechnology and the pharmaceutical industry to actually use that knowledge to create new diagnostics, therapies, and approaches to therapy for people in need. To that end, we have an investment program at Hevolution, and it is specifically an impact venture capital function. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, we're investing for impact. And what that means is return on our mission is just as important as return on our invested capital. But it is investment. We're here to drive the practical solutions that companies, governments, and people need. And we really feel like the best way to do that part is to fully be engaged with and align with the innovation ecosystem. So we're investors. We are starting companies, we're investing in early stage companies, and we're investing in companies that already exist in the biotech ecosystem to help them advance their science and their therapies if they're already in areas that we would call health span, and to help them expand into that area if they've started perhaps in an adjacent scientific area that we think is really relevant. So there's a narrow slice of the world that we're investing in, the biotechnology and pharmaceutical approaches to health span. But within that, it's a very broad mandate. In terms of process, we really are meant to and do look like a top-tier venture capital investor. So we source our opportunities broadly, globally. We've hired and are building a team of experienced investment professionals who have done venture capital before, who come from the science, medicine, development, and impact world. We're building that team globally. And we've structured a formal process that looks a lot like the process at my prior venture capital firm and other venture capital firms that involve broadly sourcing ideas, rapidly vetting them for strategic focus and strategic alignment and mission with us, and then doing deep primary diligence. We do our own diligence on companies. We go deep in the science. We engage world-class experts broadly. We engage external experts in things like intellectual property law, biotech corporate law. And to your point, we have to look at a lot of ideas before we come up with a Hevolution idea, if you will, or Hevolution project. So since we really began this process about 15 months ago, we've now screened at least 250 companies. We've got an active pipeline of four or five that we're very interested in doing a lot of work on. And as you noted, we've just closed our first investment, which I'll be happy to talk a little bit about. And we'll plan on closing at least five more investments this year and ramping up from there.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd love to hear, I probably mispronounced it, but is it Aovian Pharmaceuticals? So as you say, you've vetted and looked closely at 250 companies. This is the first one you went to. Speaking to a layman, Bill, which I am, why this one? What about it is attractive? How does it fit with the Hevolution mission?
Yeah, so there's a variety of ways to approach investments. And as it's easy to focus on number one, and we will talk about number one. Of course, as we invest in more companies, we'll build a portfolio, and there will be a variety of approaches, a variety of stages, a variety of subject matter. So Aovian fits, and it fits right in the sweet spot of our strategy for the following reasons. First of all, Aovian as a company is dedicated to developing therapies, drugs, molecules that affect the way cells control their metabolism. In other words, the real nuts and bolts of what cells do and what they have to do to help organs, tissues, and ultimately people survive. So working on complex control of metabolism is very much one of the ways that aging can go wrong if it goes poorly, and one of the ways that aging can go right if it goes well. So Aovian is interested in one of the many areas that we're interested in, and it's an important one. Secondly, the company is doing so specifically by developing molecules that some people against a target that some people have heard of. It's called mTOR. mTOR stands for the molecular target of rapamycin. So some people have heard of mTOR. Some people have heard of rapamycin. What is rapamycin? Rapamycin is a natural substance that was found on the island of Rapa Nui, hence the Rapa, and has been found over the years. So it's a complex natural molecule. It's been found to have profound impact on the way immune cells work, on how cells manage nutrients, fats, sugars, and how they basically control their metabolism. So what is rapamycin used for today? It's a drug. Many people take rapamycin today. It's actually found quite a bit of use as a standard drug to prevent transplant rejection in solid organ transplants. So people who get kidney transplants, lung transplants, they're on rapamycin or a similar molecule for quite some time at relatively high doses. And that works. It helps to preserve that. But it comes with a cost. Because rapamycin is so broadly active against many, many specific functions of cells, it does a good job of inhibiting undesirable immune cell action, but it also impacts the way sugars metabolize in cells, which people with diabetes really have issues with that, the way lipids are metabolized. It's a hard drug to tolerate. So there's been a bit of a holy grail of separating out the desirable impacts of rapamycin type molecules on improving the way cells grow and develop while getting rid of, so if you will, the undesirable aspects that cause side effects and hurt people. That's been really hard. It's been really hard because rapamycin per se is a big, complex natural molecule. And as folks have tried to dissect chemically how that molecule works, a lot of big efforts have failed, frankly. Aovian seems to have really made some very fundamental progress here. They have a variety of molecules that they've synthesized that have specific impacts on some of the targets for rapamycin and different ones. So that's very interesting to us because not only can you treat some specific diseases with some specific inhibitors, but you may be able to more broadly now look at biologic aging in cells. So the first molecule that they've developed, when taken orally, actually accesses the brain, which a lot of molecules a lot of pills don't, but this one does. And the goal of this first one is actually to treat a very specific type of epilepsy in children that is treated with rapamycin, but still has a huge unmet need. Despite the fact that rapamycin can work, children don't tolerate large doses of rapamycin for a long time. And so the efficacy is limited by dosing and parents don't love their kids being on rapamycin. So we think it's possible that we'll be able to demonstrate better safety and efficacy in tuberous sclerosis epilepsy, which some of these kids are having seizures every day, sometimes multiple times a day, despite therapy. So that's a real rifle shot for Aovian's first molecule. But again, if it works, then there's the opportunity to take additional molecules into muscle frailty and a variety of other aging type broad diseases. So we think it's assuming things work, which we'll find out in clinical trials. But assuming things work, this could be a fundamental new approach to a variety of aging diseases.
Fascinating. And Hevolution, just for our listeners, it's a $50 million investment. Hevolution has $20 million of that, along with other well-known, respectable investors. You mentioned, you foreshadowed actually my next question, which is what can we expect from Hevolution 2024, when you noted that you're looking at, you know, you can expect 4 to 5 other investments to come along. Now, Hevolution seems to be, you know, really interested in the cross-disciplinary effect. Without revealing anything, you know, can what we might see the rest of the year reflect that approach? In other words, placing bets in a variety of areas?
Yeah, for sure. So happy to talk about this a little bit. As we look at the portfolio of investments that we'd like to build, we certainly want to be investing in companies like Aovian that have a specific molecule for a specific set of diseases that could expand out to health span problems. Also, we want to be investing in companies that are exploring opportunities in other so-called hallmarks of aging. And what we mean by hallmarks of aging is aging, of course, is normal. We all age, but aging poorly and aging with disease is not normal and what we're trying to actually avoid or fix. And there have been explicated several canonical ways that aging goes poorly, if you will, that aging goes wrong, that aging goes off the rails. And one of them is nutrient sensing, the ability to manage fats and sugars inside cells. That's the sort of thing that Aovian's working on. Another is the way that the energy batteries of your cells, mitochondria, that actually produce the energy that cells use, just like the batteries in your cell phone can wear out, those mitochondria can wear out. And we'd love to invest in companies that are working on the technology to rejuvenate or replace those mitochondria. So there's a whole variety. There's a dozen or so of these hallmarks of aging type processes that we will target. So we'll be investing in some companies that are going after those things. Further, we've long said that, and you've mentioned, that to really address health span from a biologic point of view, we need to think different. We need new approaches that go beyond one molecule, one symptom, one part of one disease. That works for genetic diseases. It works for infectious disease sometimes, but it's been remarkably unsuccessful in complex chronic diseases, for perhaps reasons that make sense. That's not a systems-based approach to a systems problem. So as we focus on systems-based approaches, we'd love to invest in technologies that enable systems-based approaches to drug development. So some of those will be, as we mentioned, we hope to be investing in digital innovation. So we'll see some of that. We'd also like to be investing in new technologies for drug discovery and development. I'll give you an example of a new technology that garnered a lot of interest a couple of years ago and is still generating lots of opportunity today, and that's gene editing. So gene editing has been now taken from academia, reduced to practice in companies, and there's now been the first approval of a product to actually edit your genome to fix, if you will, a genetic problem. Now, that's great for genetic diseases, probably a little less applicable to our universe here, but there are other underlying technologies that can be exploited. And some of those include epigenetic reprogramming, epigenetic editing, ways of controlling how genes are expressed as opposed to what the genes are, that change over time. And again, that change over time is really the connection to aging. So if we could invest in companies that are fundamentally changing the pattern of gene expression in cells, we might actually be able to either prevent or rewind the clock on some of the processes of aging. We might need artificial intelligence to help us choose the systemic approach, but there are great underlying technologies now for epigenetic editing and reprogramming, and we hope to invest in some of those too. So to give you a flavor of some individual companies, some platform companies, and some technology approaches, and we hope to create a portfolio that looks at all those.
Fascinating. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. That's useful. And just for us laymen, what is the proper definition of epigenetic?
So to take a big step back, the DNA in all of our cells is the blueprint for how we're built from a cell, tissue, organ, and whole body level. And that DNA is the same in all of our cells. We each have a unique set of blueprints for how we're built. But just as a house isn't built because of a blueprint is then used to construct the various rooms in a house. And the parts of the blueprint that are pulled out and used to build a garage is different than the parts of that blueprint that are used to build a bathroom. So just as that happens in construction, the blueprint, our DNA, is not all expressed in every cell. In fact, only certain pieces of it are. And over time, different genes can be actually turned on or turned off. And when those genes are turned on, proteins are made, enzymes are made, things are built, just as when a blueprint is pulled out, wood and glass and steel are brought in and a room is built. So epigenetics refers to the control of which genes are expressed when and where. Gotcha. It's a whole new way of looking at genetics and gene expression, and a very nascent area. It's been exploited in cancer therapy to actually find potential therapies that would say turn off the expression of genes that cause cancer in a cell. And we're looking to both turn on and turn off, first to understand, and then turn on and turn off patterns of gene expression that lead to unhealthy aging as opposed to healthy aging. Now, that's a big task, and I can't tell you how to do it. What I can tell you is it's very important, and there are companies that we think are at the forefront of that.
So you're down at the ground level, Bill, and I think, you know, it's fascinating. You're really a point of the spear in many ways in terms of finding the proper ways to invest and maybe try and catalyze on the science and technology front. Our friend Michael Torres often reminds me, he says, Richard, Evolution Foundation was created by royal order, not royal decree, Richard. I believe there's been only two royal orders. This is essentially a Saudi moonshot in many ways. It's being fully funded with more funding to come along, and it's being implemented and actualized. It's gotta be fascinating for you to be part of this, given your really extensive deep background in both investment and science and medicine. It's gotta be exciting.
It's incredibly exciting. I think there have been a lot of royal orders, but there may have only been a couple royal orders focused on philanthropy, nonprofits, and organizations like
gotcha.
This, for sure. Look, Hevolution is a fascinating place, and it's a fascinating initiative. We are starting locally, based in Riyadh. Our vision is global, for sure. We're sourcing our team globally. We're providing grants globally. Our mission is global. We feel very fortunate to be so deeply supported by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in pursuing this important global mission. It's exciting. It's a landmark event. And I could not be more thrilled to be able to do this in the context of Hevolution, in the context of the Kingdom. We are absolutely looking to both expand our grant program even more globally, to source investments globally, and certainly to do a lot of good work in the kingdom as well.
Dr. William Green, Chief Investment Officer, Evolution Foundation. Bill, really a treat. As you can tell, we're really particularly fascinated by this initiative for any number of reasons. A reference to a moonshot, references to the Saudi Arabia, you know, looking to seize a moment that does exist. So I really appreciate you coming and updating on this. And congratulations on this first impact investment, and really looking forward to see how the rest of the year goes, and obviously on out forward as you guys take on this challenge.
Well, thank you for your interest. It's a pleasure to be here as always with you. And yeah, we're really excited to see what comes next.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you.